Okay, if somebody could tell Pastor it's time to move on.
I know.
Welcome. Have to keep up with things we hope we don't forget. I have several different reminders in the room that always let me know of things. Remember to tell me this. Remember to tell me that. Whew. God is good. Amen. Oh, don't you just love that song, Yeshua? Oh, my goodness. I just love to run and hide myself in him. And I'm going to be doing a lot of that in the next few weeks. As y'all know, I got surgery on Thursday, and I'm good. I'm in agreement that all will go well, that I will not have extreme, all this crazy pain people talk about. You know, I didn't come in agreement with that when I had my babies, and I had two supernatural babies with absolutely no pain, shocking all my nurses, shocking the doctors, and I'm agreeing that I don't have to have this crazy, excruciating pain that people talk about, and that I'm going to heal quickly enough that I can have this right one done before the end of the year. So I'm asking you, my family, my church and spiritual family, that you come into agreement with me where two or more are gathered in my name and we agree that it is done. That surgery, I'm not worried. I feel so confident that I have the best team, the best hospital in the area for what I'm going to get done. I'm not worried about any of that. And I'm not going to be worried about the future because I know he's leading and he's guiding me. And I have him on my side, in me, through me, and for me. And I got you guys praying. So Wednesday is when I'm supposed to find out what time I'm going to have surgery. And I will let you all know. It'll be on probably the Arise prayer group so that you'll know exact time to pray. But I know you've been praying for me and you will continue this week. And so the enemy tries his best and his darndest to get my mind into fear. I'm just going to be real, okay? Can we just be real and upfront? He does his best to try. He throws all kinds of stuff at me. I don't even go looking for it, and he just brings it across my path. How many does he do try and do that to you? But I know that he is a loser. He's lost. That the blood of Jesus and the cross has brought me through. Amen. So I'm standing against him. So when you think about that, you stand against what the enemy tries to do in my mind and my emotions. I'm not bowing down to fear. I'm not going to kneel down to anything that is not of the Father. Amen. So I'm so thankful for all of you and your prayers. And we will be in Little Rock, in case anybody didn't know. It is in Little Rock. And so he said, if you're doing good, which I will be, I will be coming home on Friday. And so I'm going to pray over the offering. And the team, I'm not sure when Holy for Him are coming back. Wednesday. Okay, they'll be traveling back. They've been doing some amazing work in Puerto Rico and been watching them online and for the Unseen Anthem as well. So, Father, I just thank you for this offering and the givers and those that want to give, Lord. I thank you that you are our provider in all things, financial, physical, emotional, and spiritual. You've created us perfect and whole if we can just remember who we are. So I thank you. I thank you for this offering and all that it goes to provide for this congregation and the things that we want to do for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in Mountain View. I thank you that you've called us to Mountain View, to Stone County. Lord, let us see needs and hurts and bring your life-giving love and presence to all the areas that we see hurt and pain in. Each of us may see those things differently and in different places. But I thank you that you've given us all a mandate and a calling to be you wherever we go. So I thank you, Father, that you're enabling us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and financially to do all that you want to accomplish here. And Father, we just thank you for Unseen Anthem, and we thank you for Holy for Him. We thank you for what they're doing on the ground in Puerto Rico, and I thank you that your protection covers them wherever they put their feet. On that airplane, on the beach, in the cities, wherever they're going, you surround them with angelic protection and you bring them home safely. We thank you for their hearts of ministry and love for you and people. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor's continuing on with his thanks and giving. A heart of creating, what is that? I can't read that. Let me look up here. Developing a heart of gratitude. You'd think somebody that knows graphics would know better than doing that. Sorry. I did it to myself. Developing a heart of gratitude. And I'm telling you, gratitude, it pushes the enemy away. Boy, he does not like it when we are thankful and grateful. Even in the midst of hard times and struggling times, there is always something to be thankful for. So Pastor's continuing on with that. The kids are continuing growing up with God in the back. And I just want to say a happy, happy birthday to Susan, who will be whatever age tomorrow. It does not matter. You are here alive and well. She has beat the statistics. She has beat the statistics. She is an overcomer. Amen. And we are so happy that you are a part of us. We love you so much. We hope I know you had a fantastic day yesterday with some of the ladies, and I pray that you have a fantastic birthday tomorrow and that you know how much you are loved and cared for, and we are blessed that you were born. Our church, our lives are blessed because you are in here with us, and we are so thankful. So, who's ready for Pastor Tommy? Huh? I did the offering. I did everything but preach. I did everything but preach. I tried to withhold.
Amen. You guys good? Well, I'll tell you what, Becky, are you going? Bye, kids. Y'all have fun. Well, good gracious love. I'm still tapping up here, so give me a moment. It's because my fingers are cold. Becky turned the heat up. You know what she came up and told me, right? My pastor told me that you start the heat off at 65 and you cool to 68. There's a hard and fast rule. And I said, well, that was before I got old and cold. I told somebody, I said, I guess I'll warm up about June. So that's it. Open your Bibles up. Amen. You guys want to get in your Bible, don't you? There's a lot of stuff going on this month. The community Thanksgiving service will be at Foothills Baptist this year, instead of at First Baptist Church, where we've had it, I actually think since Methuselah was around. But I don't know. As long as I've ever gone to one, it's been at First Baptist. But this year, Jason and his crew over there are in Pastor Jason and his crew are in a building project, tearing out the west wall and expanding that auditorium. Amen. Finally changing the auditorium from a gym into an auditorium, from a fellowship hall into an auditorium. I'll get it right one day. Amen. God's good, yeah? Did I tell you where to go? Boy, that's good, because it's bad to have a pastor that tells you where to go. But Psalms 9 and verse 1 is where we're going to start off first, and then you can flip over to the story in a minute. That is not me. Susan, that's your phone? Amen. You got it? We are family, amen. And if you felt awkward in that moment, well, you know. Me too. Oh, so Psalms 9:1 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, and I will tell of your wonderful deeds. Amen? That, you know, I love that verse because, one, it talks about a whole heart, right? And I don't know about you, but I like my heart to be whole, physically whole, right? And then I also like my heart to I like all that's in me, what we call our heart, our emotions and our volition, our choices, our thinking, our thoughts, all of that. I want to love God as much as I possibly can. It's humanly possible. And it's a progress, isn't it? It's a journey, right? Because sometimes our hearts don't really feel like. You ever felt like not being around God? Because we're going to talk about a guy that didn't want to be around God. Have you ever avoided God? I have. which is not unusual. It's unusual if God avoids you, which he doesn't. God does not avoid you. God has never avoided you. He's never seen you come in and turned around and hid on the other aisle of Walmart so you couldn't see him. He doesn't do that, right? Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Now flip your Bible over to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. I don't know. You know, some things are always the same in November, you know? It gets cold. The leaves are, man, aren't the leaves beautiful this year? I can't get over it. I thought the summer when it stopped raining in June, that we wouldn't have a good fall. But boy, it is beautiful out there. I always think about Nancy Thompson when I pass the forestry office, and it's got that big tree near there. It's not in their parking lot. I think it's at a house right next to it. But that tree is just beautiful. She always made me look at that tree. So anyway, God's good, yeah? It's a beautiful fall, and it seems like in November, I always bring up this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, because this guy is so relatable, you know? He just, and it doesn't really work out well for him, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have to work out well for us, right? So, Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1, I'm only going to read a little bit. I'm not going to read you the whole book, which is like four short chapters. But now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board, and then to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Most of us do things so that we can get in the presence of God, right? I mean, we sing songs, we get us in the proper mindset. We set our hearts right, you know. When Karen and I were younger, we used to go in separate cars to church so that we wouldn't, actually we were going to Sunday school, to teach Sunday school. We would go in separate cars so we wouldn't fight all the way to church. And then have to put on that face like, oh, everything's fine. You know, we're blessed and highly favored. But, you know, how's your marriage? Oh, it's wonderful. You know, we're both living in separate cars. But Jonah, I mean, let me just give you some background, because that's what I do, right? Jonah was a prophet during the time with Hosea and Amos. And Hosea and Amos had different things to say, and they were already prophesying that the demise and the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel was going to happen at the hand of Assyria within their lifetimes. And so they're telling this king, and King Jeroboam II, he's named after the first king of the northern kingdom, but he's actually the second, and he's the 14th king that they had. It doesn't mean that it's been a very long time, because they change kings quite often. So Jeroboam II he ruled over a very prosperous nation. And whoever they had been vassals to prior to his kingship had been broken. And Assyria itself, as a superpower in the region, had a lot of internal strife. And so they had backed away from attacking smaller countries like Israel. And so he had actually expanded the borders, and they were having an economic boom. Everybody loved Jeroboam II, except for Hosea and Amos, because they were an idolatrous nation, and God was going to bring them to a close, and they kept saying that the Assyrians will come here. So Jonah, who's another prophet, who actually prophesied to Jeroboam II, and he said, you will expand the borders of Israel. You will oversee like a prosperous country. And that those things happened. But now we have Jonah, and he gets a word from God. And unlike many of us, because when we get a word from God, when we feel like God's talking to us, usually we're happy, right? Because usually we're asking him for instructions or for direction or for encouragement. Jonah gets this word, and God tells him to go to Nineveh, which is the capital at this point of Assyria. And it says, go warn them, because they're so wicked, I'm going to have to destroy them. I mean, and Jonah, he could have thought all kinds of things. I mean, why are you telling me to go to Nineveh for? They're our enemies. This is like God sending someone from Ukraine to go to Russia and say, repent, and God won't kill you. So Jonah just doesn't get in the groove. I mean, he tells God, not only does he tell God no, which I'm sure none of you ever have, okay? People in other churches have, but not here, except for this guy. This guy's told God no. I've asked God, do you have some identification? Because I can know that it's you. But Jonah just decided he's going to flee from where God is, because he thinks he can. He thinks God's only in Israel, which is part of his problem of going, I'm not going to Nineveh, because that's God, you're not there. You're only here. You're not there. Of course, the Judahites, the people in the southern kingdom and Judah, they only thought God was there at the temple, right? They didn't think he was in the northern kingdom at all. They're all half pagan anyway. So like the southern kingdom wasn't, but they were. But Jonah just says, God, he didn't voice it to him. He just went and got a ship and went the whole different direction. See, I don't know if you know the geography of the area, but the Northern Kingdom is just south of Syria. It's just south of Damascus, right? And goes all the way through the Galilee into the northern border of Judah. But Nineveh is over in modern-day Iraq on the, I can't remember if it's the Tigris or the Euphrates. It's on one of the rivers. And it's all the way over there. It's a long ways through a desert. You can't get there on a boat. But he goes down to Joppa and he buys a ticket on a boat going to Tarshish, which we don't know where it is. We think it's on the southern tip of Spain. That's about as far in Jonah's world as you could go from Nineveh. I mean, you really couldn't go in a different direction farther. You couldn't go in that direction any farther unless you were going to pre-Christopher Columbus cross the Atlantic into the to the Western Hemisphere. But he's running from God because he thinks if he gets out of God's presence, then God will quit talking to him and he won't have to do what God's asking him to do. He'll ask somebody else. Does anyone else ever think about that? You ever go, I don't know if you're asking the right person, God. You know, because, you know, they're better qualified than I am to do this, right? I mean, Jonah doesn't say it here, but why didn't he say, why don't you send Amos? Why don't you send Hosea? They're always saying something. Send them. I'll just bless them on their way. Because the reason is Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh because he doesn't want Nineveh saved. He hates Ninevites. He hates Assyrians. I mean, he doesn't want them to keep breathing because if they keep breathing and get their act together, they're going to come take over his little nation and they're going to come to an end, which actually happens about, I don't know, in some people's estimates, it's about 25 years since the time that he goes to Nineveh until the Assyrians come in and then take over Syria and all of northern Israel and take them into exile. So Jonah has got a really bad attitude because apparently God cares for people that Jonah doesn't care about. The nerve, right? I mean, who does God think he is? Does he think he's all loving or something? Does he think that he loves the whole of humanity? I mean, if they're my enemies, shouldn't he hate them too? I mean, after all, he told Joshua and Moses and those leaders hundreds of years ago, he told them to go destroy all of them. Why these guys get to live? Why are you sending me over here? You ever had a conversation like that with God? You ever talked to him and said, you know, what are you thinking? What's wrong with you? Are you crazy? I had that conversation with God many times. When I was in my 20s, I was backslid. I mean, worse than anybody you've ever known your whole life. And I felt God calling me back because I'd been called to the ministry when I was a teenager. But I was running from God, much like Jonah is here. And I just didn't want to come back. And the reason I didn't want to come back, and most of you know this story, is because I didn't want to go to Africa and have Cody and Kayla eaten by, they weren't teenagers yet, eaten by crocodiles, right? So, I mean, if they'd have been in their teenage years when this was happening, maybe, no, I'm kidding. I'm really kidding. But then God overcame that and told me I didn't have to ever go to Africa, which I'm still holding him to, because I'm not affluent enough to hunt there, so there's no reason for me to go. It was a dumb thing to say. Jonah, though, hates the Assyrians. But apparently God cares about them. And that bugs him. I mean, this is, of all the stories in the Bible, this one gets more real to me than any of them. It really does. Jonah's just being honest with God. Yeah, I let that linger there because it's a big thing to be honest with God. Especially if you know, from a word movement, because you're always blessed and highly favored. Because we say that to all of our friends when they ask us how we're doing, right? And there's lots of times when we don't feel blessed or favored. It doesn't mean we're not, but how we feel, God cares about. You realize that, right? God is interested in your emotions. He's not interested in you putting on a good face to Him. You don't have to be smiley every time you come into God's presence. You can be angry. You can be sad. You can be broken. You can feel rejected. You can feel all of the things that we feel as humans, usually by other humans, right? And sometimes by God. Because sometimes He asks us to do stuff that we don't really understand why He wants us to do it. And it's not as if He takes time to explain it to us. Because what's He looking for first? Within the relationship that He has with us. He's looking for a yes from us. But more than the yes, and you can see this illustrated in Jonah's life, He's interested in you. Because Jonah did all that he could to flee from the presence of God, but God never left Jonah. God didn't turn His back on Jonah and say, well, if you're not going to listen to me, I don't have anything else to do with you. You can just go die. But Pastor, they got out on the sea and God sent a storm. Yeah, that's just because He's trying to get Jonah's attention. Jonah didn't die, right? Jonah didn't get killed. The sea didn't open up and eat Jonah as much as Jonah would like to phrase it that way. So Jonah's in this boat, and these sailors are taking him out there, and they don't know Jonah from Amos. They don't know Jonah, you know, they just know this guy paid a ticket to get in the boat and go to Tarshish, right? So they get into this hard storm that's about to sink the boat. They start throwing off the cargo, which is the whole reason they're in the boat, is to carry the cargo, right? So it seemed like to me I would have just turned around and went home, which might have been God's intent. But Jonah's hard-hearted and hard-headed, and he doesn't want to go back to Israel, and he definitely doesn't want to go to Nineveh. So he's staying on this boat, and everybody else is afraid they're going to die. Jonah just goes in the bottom of the boat, in the basement or in the lower deck, and he just decides, I'm just going to stay down here till the boat sinks because I don't care. You can just kill me. I'm not going to Nineveh. Have you ever said that to God? Has God ever asked you to do something? You just go right ahead on, kill me, because I ain't doing it. Right? Because that's what Jonah's doing here. He's telling God, he's not only telling Him no, he's saying, I'm choosing death over saying yes to you. I love Jonah. So the sailors, they cast lots to see whose fault it is. Who's made their God mad, right? Because they're all pagan. They all got different gods. So they cast lots to find out who it is. And, of course, it's Jonah. Because, you know, God probably flicked over the dice, you know. Think, yeah, Jonah. Yeah, he spun the whatever they did. So they started casting lots. And then in verse 8, they say to Jonah, tell us what calamity has brought this upon us. What's your occupation? Where are you from? What's your country? What people are you? He said, Jonah did, I'm a Hebrew. And I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And they got even more afraid. And they asked him, what is this you have done? What did you do to make God this mad? You're about to kill all of us. And Jonah convinced him. He said, you should just throw me over and kill me. You should just throw me in the ocean and you'll be fine. But I'll die. And then they didn't want to do that at first because they didn't want his blood on their hands. You know, nice of them, right? I mean, but eventually they took Jonah and they threw him into the sea. And he sinks, hoping he dies. But he doesn't die. Because you can't get away from God. No matter how far you run, you're not running away from God. No matter how heinously you've lived your life. I don't even know I knew that word. No matter how terrible you've lived your life, you have never been outside of God's presence. You know, when I read these stories in the Old Testament now, since I've read Paul and found out that we were in Christ before the foundation of the world, right? I try to see these sailors that they were in Christ before the foundation of the world. I mean, it's like contemplating the universe, right? Or the galaxy we live in, which is large enough that we can't comprehend it. Did you guys hear about that object that's flying through space? Slowing down. They say it's got pulsating lights. Karen thinks it's going to come around the side of the sun and blindside us, I think she said. It's twice as far away from us as the sun. I think we're safe. That's a long ways away. I mean, if it traveled at the speed of light, which it's not traveling at the speed of light, it could get to us in 16 minutes. Because it takes 8 minutes for the light from the sun to get to us, right? This is your science fiction. This is your NASA moment for this Sunday. But you can't, no matter where you go, God is already there. When you tell him no, he isn't surprised. He already knew what you were going to say. What gets me about this story is that, one, that God never gives up on Jonah. Because if somebody was doing this to you, wouldn't you get mad? I mean, don't they tell us in the memes that they show you who they are, then you should believe them, right? I mean, Jonah was showing God. He didn't care about the Assyrians and Nineveh, right? He didn't care if they got judgment. He didn't want to go warn them. See, it wasn't that he just didn't want to go over there. He didn't want God's mercy to fall on these people. And he falls. They throw him in the ocean, right? I'm sure they probably before they even touched him, he jumped. But anyway, he's sinking, and then God sends a fish to swallow Jonah. Some people think it's like, you know, one of those big, huge groupers. You seen those things? Or like a whale? I mean, because they could swallow a human easily, right? Yeah, I think it was a fish about that big. I always think it's a tiny little fish. I mean, if we're gonna read the story like that, we might as well just, you know, make it the most outlandish, unrealistic, unnatural thing ever. Because fish don't swallow people, and people don't live inside of fish, right? But Jonah did. Donkeys don't talk either. Until they're in Shrek, and then they're a flying talking donkey. But anyway, Jonah gets swallowed up. And in chapter 2 of this story, Jonah has this conversation with God. I'm sorry, I got to read part to you. Because it's just too much. Starting in verse 1, it says, Jonah prayed to the Lord God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep. He's talking to God, and he's telling, you threw me in the water, right? Why don't we do that? Why don't we tell God no? Why don't we have, I mean, he's got everything but a grateful heart, right? He's got everything but the attitude that we're trying to develop this month, right? That we're bringing a focus on this month. He's not thankful that God's talking to him. He's not thankful that he's in God's presence. He's not thankful that God has his rich in mercy and will forgive the Assyrians. What if he had gone to Nineveh willingly the first time and it had set a whole different chain of events and the Assyrians had become friends with Israel and they didn't destroy them, right? And then with Israel and Judah and the Assyrians together, Nebuchadnezzar, when he came, they didn't get defeated, right? I thought about this, you know, because if you change one thing in time, what else are you changing, right? I mean, what could have Jonah changed if he had just said, yes, God? What if he'd just been honest with God and said, I don't really like Ninevites, I don't really like Assyrians, God, but, you know, because you do, and it's important to you, I mean, come on, guys, we do this with our wife, right? I mean, because you want to go eat here, I'll go eat here with you because I don't want to go eat separately because I'm going to get finished before you and then I'm going to have to wait outside until you come out. Anyway, it just causes problems. But if he'd have just been honest with God, I don't like these people. I don't want to be around these people. I don't want to help these people. I don't want you to have mercy on these people, which was his whole problem. You find out in chapter 4, he tells God at the end, after they repented and the disaster didn't happen, he tells them, I knew you were full of love and mercy. And it ends like that, with Jonah still mad at God. But in the fish, he does have an epiphany. Because toward the bottom of his prayer, he finds thanksgiving. Let me find it. Here it is, in verse 9. I started to say voice 9. In verse 9, he says, but I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you, which I have vowed I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish spit Jonah out. He found a little gratefulness in his journey. But he still hadn't done yet what God asked him to do. And the little bit of gratefulness that got him out of the fish doesn't stay with him very long. Because he kind of enjoys going to Nineveh and telling them to repent or disaster's coming on you. God's going to destroy this city. And it takes him 3 days to go through that city, the Bible says. And here Jonah is, obstinate, hard-headed, unrepentant, never tells God that I'm sorry, I didn't want to go, but I want to go now. The whole city of Nineveh, from the king to the cows. I love it that they put the cows in there. Even the cows repented. I don't know how a cow repents. I don't know what sin a cow has that he needs to repent from or she needs to repent from. But the Bible says that they put sackcloth and ashes on the cows. The whole city got in sackcloth and ashes and repented. And then Jonah goes up on the top of a hill to look at the city because he's watching for, you know, a Sodom and Gomorrah moment that never comes. And he goes back into his dark place. At least he's not trying to run from God's presence now, right? But he still never comes to grips with his heart was hard and his mind was solid as a rock. Because God couldn't change his thinking. He couldn't change what Jonah wanted to do. He only did it to get out of the fish's mouth. You see that, right? He didn't do it because he had a heart of compassion for the people, because he was thankful that God spoke to him, because God gave him a word, but because he's just not dying in the ocean. He's not being digested by a fish. So what can we learn from this story? You guys all right today? I don't even know if I have three things. But here, I do. I do have three things. We should never forget. We should always be thankful. Just to say it that way. We should always have a grateful heart for who God is. Who he is to us. He remembered at the end who God is, but he still didn't live his life that way. He said in chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "For I knew, God, that you're gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from punishment." I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times in my life where I love those last few words. Relenting from punishment. Right? Because there's a lot of things God can do to me that brings discipline in my life, right? I mean, Michael and I were talking about this the other day. Michael got to give his testimony at a Celebrate Recovery in, where were we at? Cave City. And so, I said, you know, discipline is like when you're in the third grade and you're learning how to spell and you have to write the words out like 25 times a piece, right? You're learning spelling rules. You're learning things. But it's not painful. You just don't want to do it, right? Y'all remember that, right? I remember one night helping my dad out when I was in the third grade. We were planting pine trees on one of the back pastures, Dad goes, "Don't you have homework?" And I said, "Yeah, but it's fine. I'd rather plant trees, you know. I'd rather dig in the dirt and plant trees than do spelling over and over and over again." Anyway, we planted a lot of trees. But God is not, we got to remember who he is. Not so we can test him like Jonah did, but remember that from the beginning. I mean, if Jonah had an honest conversation with God, had an honest face-to-face with him and saying, I don't really understand why this is. I'm going to do it because you want me to do it. But aren't they going to come destroy us? Isn't that what Hosea and Amos have been saying? Aren't we going to, but you want me to go there so they're not destroyed. Wow. You know, when I was younger, I would teach the story of Joseph, that when Joseph went to Egypt as a slave, right? Brothers sold him into slavery. God was saving his family and all of their descendants, because in Egypt, he sent Joseph to put food back in the good years so they'd have food when the bad years came. Remember? God saved Egypt because he was saving Joseph's family. And so, there's no telling who God was saving in Nineveh. But I know that he knew every person in Nineveh, just like he knows every person in this room. Just like he knew Jonah. The second thing is to be thankful for who you are. That you're part of a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. I mean, you're the hands and the heart and the eyes and the voice of God in this area. God's using you to bless people. God wanted to use Jonah to bless the Assyrians, but Jonah just did not want to have anything to do with them. And the third thing is, even when we do very, very, very stupid things, as Jonah did, God never leaves us. Have you ever pulled that card on God before? At least I'm not Jonah, right? Of course, I can't say that because I told him no, and I tried to flee from his presence. But maybe you can. You can hold that up. I've never been as bad as Jonah. You know, I've never been as bad as Jezebel. I mean, was Jezebel in Christ at the foundation of the earth? Not according to the writers, but they didn't create her, did they? God is always with you. He's in you. He's with you in the mess that we create. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. Because if you were Tommy Lee, then you would have lived 64 years, almost 65, with the innate, inherent ability to create a mess that only God could straighten out. It's why I won't let go of him. It's why I'm not climbing on a boat to go to Tarshish. I don't see any of the places God has ever put me in as Nineveh, as a place that I would sooner see destroyed than saved. Because if it's God's will to save it, he knows more than I know. And if it's God's will to send me, he'll equip me to where I go. And it's God's. He's with you every step of the way. And for that thought, and for the first one of remembering who he is, it's fairly easy to have a grateful heart. Sometimes we just need to sit down and think about it. Let's all stand. Amen? You guys okay today? Father, we just ask you, Lord, that you give us a grateful heart. Lord, that you lead us and teach us, and discipline us, have your way in our life. We know that in your hands, you'll always love us. We are always, no one can take us out of your hands, God. And Father, we just love you and honor you today. And I pray over all of these people that be blessed this week in Jesus' name. And if you need prayer for anything that you didn't come up for before or you need to come up again, you can just come up down to the altar. Someone will come down here and pray with you and pray over any of the needs that you may have. You guys have a wonderful week. I love you.